Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
What time is it?
You're locked into the flagship, an Ole Miss podcast powered by College Corner.
Here we go.
One, two, three.
Get your daily Rebel sports fix at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com.
Welcome in to this week 14 edition of Hit That Line. I'm your host, Zach Berry. Welcome in to the Egg Bowl edition. Before the Legal Gambling Council gets in the booth, I do want to remind you, show is brought to you each and every week by our good friends at College Corner, three locations, Oxford, Ridgeland, Flowood, and check them out, collegecornerstore.com, and get all of your, whatever you call it, Secret Santa, Yankee Swap, all that stuff. You can get some good stuff from College Corner. Also, our good friend Drew Moak and USA Benefits Group, also a proud sponsor of the show. 601-953-8449. That is Drew's number. You can also check out the website, quoteswithdrew.com, and get your free quote today. It's Medicare enrollment season. Don't wait to the last minute. Just hit up Drew and he will take care of it for you. All right. Let's bring them in here as we've got everyone here. Thanksgiving week, gentlemen. Happy holidays and welcome to week 14.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. That's about the only happy there is.
Yeah, we're gonna have our company party in the Grove on Friday. We're all gonna hang out. We're not even gonna fucking talk about the Florida game. I had to endure that while my house was filled with people for my daughter's birthday party. Somehow I didn't drink every high noon in the house. Let's focus our attention on the rankings, because I think there are some interesting points and some interesting things to discuss about these rankings. And I know this is an Ole Miss show, so of course we're going to make the case for Ole Miss. And as we were doing a little prep work, Ben mentioned it. All of this will be prefaced with Ole Miss should have beaten Kentucky, should have beaten LSU, should have beaten Florida, at least beat two of the three. We know that.
Favored by double digits in two of the three.
Yeah.
So everything we say is preface, like, don't tell us, well, you should have taken care of business. We know. We know. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
The rankings, I did not think the Saban effect was still a thing. He's no longer a coach. I know he's employed by ESPN, so I guess that's part of it. I don't think Alabama deserves to be ahead of Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss should be 13. You can point to the losses, but again, if you're going to talk about the wins and the quality of the wins, talk about the quality or whatever about the losses. Look, a loss is a loss. Again, we know Ole Miss should have taken care of business. Ole Miss has not been blown out at all this year. 13 points in the three losses. The committee just really showed their ass, in my opinion. Alabama went on the road and got their shit punched in by Oklahoma, who was not even going to a bowl game. I thought that was my first gripe. And then, honestly, the other 12, Clemson is fraudulent. We'll get to that game. The Palmetto Bowl is going to be fun. But, yeah, that was just my big thing was if you're comparing two three-loss teams and there's common opponents, I think Ole Miss has the better – resume when compared to Alabama, and I'm sure y'all are going to get into it. It seemed like the committee was picking and choosing what they value differently for each team.
And I agree with you. I think they were picking and choosing, and I think they did that the week before too, right? Like there was a I think we were ranked one spot higher than we anticipated the week before. We thought we would be, what, a 10th or 11th, and then I guess the seeding, we were 9th. We thought we would be 10th, or maybe it was 10th and 11th. I can't remember. Either way, we were one spot ahead of what we thought we would be, and I think that's what they do. Like, I don't think that there's a lot of right. I think they put – forward this, you know, facade or charade that there's a lot of deep thought going into this in there. And there's really not. Like, they take the no loss team and put them first, and then they go one loss teams and put them in the next handful, as long as you're a Power Four conference team with one loss. And then they put the two loss teams, and then they give the SEC the benefit of the doubt for one extra loss sometimes. Once you get into the two, like a two loss SEC team, and I don't have the list in front of me of the playoff teams, but it's, I mean, somebody on Twitter did it, and like, I'm sure it took them 5 minutes to say, okay, well, here's the undefeated, and this next group's one loss, and this next group's two loss, and this next group's three loss. And it's like, you don't give conference affiliation any sort of no bias to it, or no credence to it, I guess is a better word. And then you look at who's on the committee, and it makes sense. There's several people from group teams, like the Mountain West has a couple of you got a guy from a guy who played in Nebraska, a guy who played at Arizona State. I find that interesting that a player from Arizona State is on there. Arizona State's now 15th or 16th, and it's like, you know, do those schools get the benefit of the doubt when you're splitting hairs among 9-3 teams? I don't know. Or 10-2. I don't know. I mean,
I think of course they do. Of course they do.
Yeah. I mean, if Keith Carter was in the room and he didn't,
we better get the bid. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, he's got a fiduciary duty to fight for us.
Right.
I don't know how much you guys keep up with the basketball committee from last year. Like I remember when it came out, they talked about there were like five teams that were kind of close to the bubble, teams that on the committee, and all five of the team, the 80s were on the committee. All five of the teams got in. All five of the teams were ranked at least one seed line above where they should have been projected. And like three of the five teams were two or more seed lines above. I mean, it was like it perfectly went along. And it was also like someone had been at Utah State and was now at Virginia or something like that. And the Utah State also got bumped up. It was like perfectly along the lines of if you were in the room, because yeah, you can't talk about your team. But you leave, and then everyone else talks about your team, and then they leave, and you talk about their team. It's like,
exactly.
I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. That's all it is.
Right.
Okay. Yeah,
it's an unspoken.
Are they recording these? Do they take meeting minutes? I mean, are these?
Not to the last. I think the last one is actually recorded, right? Okay. In terms of taking minutes, I don't know. Maybe they do. But I think the last committee meeting is actually like broadcast and recorded, right? It's at least recorded, isn't it?
I mean, it's recorded, but who's watching it? I mean, like who's getting to watch it is what I'm saying. I mean, I would watch it. I think it'd be interesting, but who gets to see it? Maybe it's there for posterity in case just to double check that. But like, it hadn't been released, not that I recall. Maybe it's going to be different with the 12 team. I haven't seen it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and we're probably going to get to it eventually. The whole like first round bye and. You got to have a G5 like that. I think that's all stupid and bullshit. Like just pick the 12 best teams. Like
Zach, you texted earlier, right? Where the loser of the Big Ten championship game is going to draw what the Mountain West champ and an ACC team. And the winner will face Georgia on a neutral for their first game. That has nothing to do with like SEC bias or Ole Miss. That result is outrageous. Like that is unjustifiable. You can't justify that. You reward the team for losing, and the team that earned the bye gets absolutely screwed right out of the game.
Yeah. Do you sit your starters in the Big Ten championship?
Yeah.
Make treat a mockery like, of the system.
Treat it like Ray Tanner did with Hoover.
Seriously. Yeah. I'm totally fine with automatic bids. I want there to be a seat at the table. And I hear people saying like Sankey's fixing to take his ball and go home with the Big Ten. I don't want that. I don't want there to be an invitational at the end of the season. I mean, I would be ecstatic if we won a national championship, but it would feel hollow if it was we didn't win a national championship. We just won like a 30 team grouping. My point is that I enjoy teams being in there, but I think if you're going to have automatic bids, essentially giving away like five of the 12 bids being automatic and only having seven at-larges is too small of a number. And I think you just need to go to 16. And they don't have the NCAA tournament. Every single team that gets an at-large or an automatic bid doesn't get a top eight seed. That'd be outlandish, right?
Yeah.
Put 16 teams, five teams get automatic bids. And if they want to be seeds 13, 14, 15, and 16, have at it. Like that, yeah. That's fine with me. But putting them in the five spot there is everyone saw it coming. And last thing, Notre Dame, why would they do anything other than what they've done this year? They're going to host a playoff game in perpetuity, right?
Yeah, they will. Forever. Forever.
This and, system is built for Notre Dame. That's why I told y'all before we got on. Why don't we just go independent?
You should. Schedule Southern Miss 12 times. We'll host a playoff game. We'll be in every year.
And
I mean,
Notre Dame has the worst loss in the country.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, yeah, no, yeah, no, team no in there. Doubt about it.
Like they don't really have a good win. They won at A&M. That's it.
Yeah. They lost to Northern Illinois at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, a team that plays on fucking Tuesday.
Right. A team that's like fifth in the MAC. Sixth in the MAC. They're not even competitive in the MAC. Yeah. They're not winning the MAC this year.
And before we get to the week and talk Egg Bowl and everything, stop with this bullshit that, like, we can't do a tournament. Yes, you fucking can. Everybody else does it. Don't give me the, well, that's just too many games for the, you don't give a shit about the kids. And it's not too many games. Baseball plays what? 80? Yeah. FCS does North it.
Seven, yeah. FCS does it. That's exactly right.
Basketball.
If they're worried about too many games, cut out one regular season game. We just won't play Citadel next year.
Cut out the championship games.
It's not hard.
Facts.
Yeah. And look, the FCS does it, and those dudes aren't getting paid. I mean, let's face it. Now, Power Four rosters, if you're in the playoff, you're actually making money. You're making money.
FCS goes across the country. Montana will host Eastern Washington, and the next week they'll host Delaware. They're doing this on like a Wednesday or Thursday night in the cold.
Speaking of Montana, exactly. I was going to say they play in like 4 degrees, late in the season.
They're flying coach, like with other people. Yeah. They're not on their own plane, and they're doing this. They're doing this for three or four rounds at other places. Like if Ole Miss wins and goes to the college football playoff, and the second round could be in the Fiesta Bowl in an NFL stadium. If we win that, we're going to be in the Cotton Bowl in an NFL stadium. If we win that, we're also going to be in Atlanta in an NFL stadium. Like we're flying private, all this stuff. Like these guys have far superior, trainers and all that stuff compared to these FCS programs that are out here playing 15, 16 games too. And they're playing multiple games against FBS teams where they're just getting destroyed. It'd be like if we played the Packers in week six. Like,
I was just going to say, before anyone says, well, you're only saying this because Ole Miss is probably not making it. No, this is how it should be. Like, I would want this every year. It'd be way more fun, more games, more money, and you would just get – it's like the NCAA basketball tournament. You get these random-ass cool matchups that never happen, and it's fun.
A 10-game season, go back 2 weeks, take out two of this G5 opponents – the directional school opponents, and then add another round to the play. I mean, there's nothing wrong about it. And the fans you're not losing anything, right? Like, what are you losing as a fan?
No, I mean, nothing.
Nobody's even going to those games. Where you want to talk about fixing attendance, do that. Or have a early season bowl game that doesn't count towards your season win total. For example, like you host a preseason game, quote unquote, against some big name school. I don't know. I'm just thinking of ways that you could. I agree with you. I think you extend the play, you expand the playoff to at least 16, and maybe that's the right number.
I think that's going to happen.
It's also only adding a game for four teams. It's not adding a game for anyone else. The ultimate just middle finger right now is if you go to a conference championship game and you lose it, you played an extra game. Now you're guaranteed to play a next round game. It's possible they kick you out and you're going on the road somewhere. Like if we're worried about games, and like make it where if you go to a conference championship game, you're also guaranteed a bye. No, they're not worried about how many games you're playing. That's ridiculous to say that, because again, Georgia, let's say they go to the conference championship game, they lose to Texas. They're coming back 7 days or 12 days later and playing in the first round. They're going to have a 17-game season, right? 17 games. It's an NFL season.
Yeah. Austin, you had something real quick.
Just three team specific points, two of which are going to impact Ole Miss, one of which doesn't really impact us, but it just bears repeating. Texas got away with it. Like, Texas pulled off like the heist of the century. Let me count them. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are 6 SEC teams with sub 500 conference records. Texas played 5 of them. There's 1 SEC team with a 500 record, Florida. Texas also played Florida with their third string quarterback. It's outrageous that they state the problem with Texas was that nobody started talking about this yet until, like, I know the rankings didn't come out until 3 weeks ago or whatever, but like nobody started talking about Texas' strength of schedule or who they were actually rolling up wins against until it was too late. They had been like top 4 or whatever, like the entire season. And now it's over. It's over. So Texas, congratulations. You pulled it off. Your first season in the SEC, you absolutely strolled through like it was the Big 12. Like, we owed it to you. Second team specific point, Clemson's ranking is outrageous. What's y'all's favorite Clemson win? Let me roll them off. What was it? Their win against App State? Did you like the one against NC State more, or Stanford, or Florida State? What about Wake Forest, Virginia, or Virginia Tech? The Citadel?
So,
Pitt? Which one of those was your favorite Clemson win?
So either Pitt or Virginia is their best win, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Pitt. Then, but Pitt was really, really exposed late in the year. But yeah.
Then, no, they were.
They were. And their starter didn't play.
Pitt's and the quarterback got hurt too.
Yeah. Like,
so they've lost to their two best teams they played all year. Clemson has.
Yeah. Well, they lost, the one ranked team they played, they got their doors blown off.
And then they played Louisville at Clemson and lost by double digits. They lost by double digits at home to Louisville.
Got smoked. And they got a garbage touchdown late. I mean, they got their ass beat.
All right. The third team-specific thing, and y'all can call me a conspiracist or whatever, Mizzou still being ranked in order to prop up Bama. Whenever they shuffle Bama over us and Clemson, when Clemson loses this weekend to South Carolina, and if Bama beats Auburn, they're going to bump Bama up and slide them in. They're going to justify. They're going to use Missouri to justify it. The artificial like boost that Missouri is getting at this point is fucking unbelievable. Mizzou's just as bad as Clemson. They haven't beaten anybody either.
Yeah.
But just to tell you what Vegas thinks of Missouri, they are 3-point favorites at home against Arkansas. They were 7-point favorites last week against MSU, a team that Vegas has not been able to catch all year. That's how bad they are. They would be. I think MSU would be 31 plus point dogs this week if we had won last week. I think that's fair to say, a couple extra points. They're 3-point favorites over Arkansas. They're 7-point favorites over MSU. You know, it's on the road, but still, like, that's what like an actual computer system thinks of Missouri.
Great.
They don't think they're top 40.
But.com. Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're talking about, I mean, this is like real life, the old adage of, well, the kid got a Bama offer, so he's going to get his star rating is going to get bumped up. Like, this is like the college football playoff version of that.
Exactly. Yeah. And just a reminder, Mizzou needed an absolute miracle to beat Oklahoma at home just like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Everybody's already forgotten about that. Like, it literally.
We need Arkansas to beat them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it matters now because they've already put Alabama ahead of us.
Yeah. Right. They don't.
If we all hold to go back, right. It's.
Yeah.
You know,
the work is done now. Yeah. The work is done now. Exactly. Unless Auburn beats Alabama, it's all for naught at this point because they've already, the fix is in. Like, Bama's getting in if they win.
Oh, all right. And Auburn's going to have to beat Alabama and the referees and the timekeeper and the replay ref, all in Brian Denny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. And on Alabama, like, we haven't had a win that looked as, I mean, this is going to sound as bad as their win over South Carolina, right? They snuck by it, really probably might should have lost that game. We don't have any wins that were close, right? Every game that we won, we thoroughly dominated. And we don't have a loss even, I mean, I guess Kentucky was just that bad. So you can say it was as bad.
See, I disagree with that. I know people are saying, I just disagree with that.
Right.
I think the margin of their loss against Oklahoma is every bit as bad as our Kentucky loss.
I think so.
I just do. So. They were not competitive against Oklahoma. They put up 3 points.
Three points.
All right. So let's do this. All right. Let's say that the Alabama. All right. We have a common opponent in Oklahoma. Ole Miss won by 12. Alabama lost by 21. We have a common opponent in LSU.
That's the
Alabama
problem.
Won by 38 or whatever, and Ole Miss lost. Okay.
That's the problem.
So yep. You can wash the Oklahoma and LSU games off. Mm-hmm. And so now you're down to two losses apiece. Ole Miss lost to Kentucky and Florida. Mm-hmm. Alabama lost to Tennessee and Vandy. And those losses, that Tennessee loss is looked at better than the, and I don't think they use this reasoning, but if you want to like narrow it down, we'll trade you Oklahoma, your Oklahoma embarrassment for the us losing to LSU and you dominating them. Mm-hmm. And so trade those. And now you're down to two losses apiece. And Kentucky, Vandy killed Kentucky, and Tennessee's better than Florida. Mm-hmm. Barely.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, a very fortunate situation for Tennessee when Lagway gets hurt.
Mertz got hurt.
Yeah. I mean, last thing before we get to the Egg Bowl and picks. I mean, what a year for Ole Miss to not get Vandy, to not get Auburn. Even if you trade Florida for Tennessee, like I don't care what Tennessee's ranked in the college football playoff, Ole Miss would beat the absolute shit out of Tennessee.
Yeah, because Kiffin would take it seriously.
Well, yeah, and Nico can't. I mean, Tennessee, the football Twitter account was throwing out graphics for him throwing 209 yards. Like,
yeah, they're frauds.
Like, they're frauds. I mean,
well, they're going to get in.
That's what pisses me off about the playoff and probably all of Simon. I mean, to interrupt you, Zach. But it's I think we're all most pissed off because every team in it, other than Oregon and Ohio State, we would be favored against.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. We may even be favored against them. Like, that's what sucks.
And Ben, you're right. And I think even an 8-3 or a 9-3 Ole Miss team is favored against everybody.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about us right now after the Florida loss.
Yeah.
Well, we went up to now it was because the other teams went down. We went up to number two. And Bill C, who I mean, I think, you know, his stuff at ESPN obviously was good enough for them to buy it. Like his stuff's pretty good. Obviously, we've lost some games that we shouldn't have, but it has us with number two in the ratings right now on a neutral field. He would project us to beat every single team in the country, bar Ohio State. And I think that one's a 1-point spread. So basically a pick 'em.
That's what makes it so frustrating. It's like we.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the opportunity that we miss. It's not just like. This is not a case of us bitching that we didn't squeak in. What's so frustrating and just like maddening is we had a chance to make a run here, not just to squeak in and like get beat 55-3,
own the tournament,
get the playoff t-shirts and you know whatever. Like we could have won three games, we could have won four games.
Yeah.
Well, and what's really frustrating too is like let's say we did get. It's what we needed this week, and we snuck in as the 12 seed. I mean, we would have a tough game at Ohio State or at Oregon for sure. There's no doubt about that. And then after that, who do we get? We get a 4 seed in the Fiesta Bowl. That's going to be either Boise State or Arizona State. Are you kidding me? Like, and it's right there.
We would be favored 18 points against those teams. Boise should have lost to Wyoming.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
We would, if we got through that first round, we would play for the national championship. That I mean, just being realistic. And so and probably win it because that would be the team that would be most likely to beat us.
And what's frustrating too, if we had beaten Florida, let's say we're the 6th seed. I think that's probably where we would land. The Big Ten champion still comes in at 5. It means we're hosting the 11th seed, who is Indiana. Okay. We win that one. We face the 3 seed Miami in Atlanta in the Peach Bowl. I mean, you can't ask for more. Like, I mean, we'd be facing Atlanta with the vast majority of the crowd. Miami doesn't have fans. They're not going to have anybody there. We're better than them. The defense will shut them down. And we win that, we're getting the 2 seed, whoever wins the SEC, either Georgia or Texas, most likely. I mean, you're on the side of the bracket you wanted to be on. It sucks, man. It sucks. It sucks.
I'll never get over it. I'm not kidding you. I will never
By the way. Like, what exactly? I think people are just now awakening to that fact. I don't know why, but like, this is somebody described it as being almost as bad as the piss and miss. what the fuck are you talking about? Like, that was a, we were a 4-win football team. Like, who cares about the Egg Bowl? I would like this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. I hope it doesn't turn out to be a once in a lifetime opportunity. But the reason I feel that way is for the reasons we just articulated. Like, it's hard to imagine us having a better roster against a less formidable field in the future. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Is that
we have a senior quarterback
next year? Yeah,
senior quarterback.
Seven NFL defense, players on
number
defense.
One defense in the country. We had the best receiver in the country. We had the most experienced offensive line in the history of football. We had two premier tight ends. We have a Groza finalist. We have a Ray Guy finalist. Like, maybe Marcus not finals. That. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's
I mean, every position award across the board. Yeah. Almost had at least the semifinals.
We're like the 2011 Alabama Crimson Tide and lost three games. It is unbelievable. It would be just as much likely for Jackson Dart to win the Heisman Trophy and Trey Harris also be a finalist as what we've done this year.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, look around the SEC. Like, I don't know a ton about Oregon and Ohio State. So I'm not gonna like wax poetic about their receiving cores, but who's the best skill player amongst the other SEC contenders between Texas? I'm not counting Tennessee because probably Samson at that point. Between Texas, Georgia, and Alabama, who's the best skill player?
What's the receiver? The 17-year-old Alabama to Texas,
Ryan Williams.
Ryan Williams is good, but what's the one that transferred from Bama to Texas?
We can look up the name while we're talking about it. My point is like those teams are not going to be as devoid of skill talent every year as they were.
Isaiah Bond.
Okay, yeah. Maybe it's Bond. Is he better than Brock Bowers last year?
No.
No.
Kyren Lacy, he was good.
At the time, it was just like, who's this guy? Who's this Ladd McConkey from Georgia? And he's like one of the best rookie receivers in the NFL. My point is like, those teams in the past have been like loaded with NFL talent at the skill positions. They weren't this year. They're going to be in the future. Like Brock Bowers is going to play again at Georgia in 2 or 3 years. And we may have a similar team to this year, and they're going to be better. This year, they didn't have a bunch of guys that could beat us. Bama didn't have a bunch of guys that could beat us. Texas didn't have a bunch of guys that could beat us. They may in a couple of years.
And even if they did, this year we had Trey Amos. Like, we literally can shut down one side of the field. Like,
yeah,
probably the best corner in the country.
Quarterback, except
maybe Michigan. I guess the kid at Michigan's got an argument, but like, I'd put him up against pretty much anybody.
And I cannot imagine we ever have we may equal the defensive line again in the future. I guess I can't imagine we look back and are like, yeah, that one was better significantly than 2024. It's not going to happen.
Yeah,
it really can't hardly happen, you know.
I was going to say, how could it? We lead the nation in literally every statistical category that matters for defensive linemen.
Let's talk about the
one possession games, man. 13 points.
I think this is a tricky game. I won't be very brief. Tricky game in that they are quite literally as bad as they have ever been in the history of their program. They are that bad. And this is the best team we've ever had in the modern era. But we don't know who's going to show up on Saturday. Last week, I sat here and told y'all I would have picked us to win it all. I would still sit here and tell y'all in that same seat last week, I would pick us to win it. Like, I don't think that was a crazy assessment. No. I think it's a terrible matchup for them. I just don't know who's going to show up for us. I won't take State in the points only because it's too big of a number. I think 26.5 or 25.5, whatever it is just too much. Even though I think that if you took – momentum and mindset and just the psyche out of the game, I think Ole Miss, like, let's say Ole Miss beat Florida, I think this game's 45-7 Saturday. But because we didn't, I think we're going to win like 35-20. So I'm going to take State in the points.
Yeah, same. Same for the same reasons. The other thing, aside from motivation, the other thing too, sort of the elephant in the room, we're banged up, man. Like,
yeah, we got hurt.
Just catching the football.
We lost McIntyre. Trey Harris is almost certainly not going to play. Jordan Watkins pulled a hammy. Caden Lee was already banged up going into Florida. Wright didn't finish the game against Florida, did he? Jeremy Liggins, JJ Piggies can only carry the ball so much.
Wright came back in, but I think he went back out, didn't he? I know he came back in. I don't know if he finished or not.
JJ Piggies needs to play defense. Stop this fucking bullshit. And also, if he's going to run it, tell his ass to run right up the center's asshole and stop trying to bounce it outside like he's Ulysses Bentley.
How much does Piggies weigh? Is he about 330?
Probably.
I went through other SEC rosters earlier today. Do you know how many players in the SEC have 100 pounds on JJ Piggies?
One.
He plays at Florida.
Florida.
So, I mean, you can put it on Piggies, and sure, he should have done better at running the football, but like, stop putting him in there against the only guy with 100 pounds on him in the whole conference.
Okay.
Also, you can put it on him one time. You can put it on him one time. When you keep doing it, that's on the coaching staff. Like,
I don't know, man. I was talking to a buddy this week. Piggies is running that dude over.
Maybe. It's just a lot of girth, you know?
Sure, but he's got other people blocking him.
Right.
And it's 1 yard. You're 330 pounds. You're getting a running head start.
I don't want to talk about this Florida game, man. Right?
All right. Let me go on the same game. And just in case we were unsure, I'm locking in State minus. What's the number? Is it 29 right now?
No way.
26.
Yeah. I thought it went up. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter. Okay, I would lock it
in. Wait, did it?
Probably down to 20.
No,
it's didn't. No, it's 26
and a half. 26 and a half.
26 and a half if you want State per,
yeah,
I don't know, whatever is in gold here and whatever in the ESPN app. Regardless, so I'll take 26 and a half. I'm locking in State. I don't – MSU is their garbage time merchants, and that's – if you go look at all of their scores, they were not covering at one point in the fourth quarter, and I think they've covered three different times in SEC play. They're garbage time merchants, and I just could see them doing the same thing on us. Wouldn't be crazy for them to score a touchdown late in the game because they're still playing full out and we're not. And like you said, Austin, I mean, I don't know who we're throwing to. Like, let's assume both tight ends are healthy. Okay. Who else? I just don't know. MSU gets dominated when you can run the football, and maybe they're bad enough that we can run the football on them. Maybe we have 220 yards. Maybe we run. I think it'd be kind of funny actually if Kiffin was like, "You guys want Bentley?" and he just ran him like 65 times off. You
know, I will fight Lane Kiffin in the tunnel if he plays Bentley this game. But he runs for 150 yards.
I don't know that we can. I don't know that we can run him on. That's how this, like, the movable object and the stoppable force. I think our running game just might be that bad, even against
State. It may be.
I'm thinking something like 27-7. We don't cover. I really think it's going to be ugly, man.
So I'm going to take State also plus 26 and a half, only because I told y'all earlier that I was going to do it when I made my list and texted to y'all. A couple things. One more thing about it. We don't, with Harris out, and if Caden Lee is injured, at some point the great teams are great because they have an exceptional talent that they can exploit the opponent with. Who is that guy for us against State Friday? Like, where are we going to find that mismatch? Like, if we had Judkins, it'd be Judkins. If we had Trey Harris, it'd be Trey Harris. If we had,
Aiden Williams season.
I mean, you see what I'm saying? Like, if we have a lot of guys hurt, now they may not be able to score on us. I firmly believe that. But this thought that we're going to come out and beat them, like, I mean, if we cover 26 and a half, it's because we beat them 28 to nothing. Like, they didn't score a point.
Yeah.
Right.
So everybody's taking the points.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to lock it just cause I fuck State, but yeah, I think they cover.
All right. So I'll buck the trend. I know we did this last week with Florida, whatever. It was on the road and it was a bad game, bad decision-making. Didn't capitalize, whatever. This is at home. Mississippi State is awful. I mean, this is a legendary bad defense. Like, we'll go down in the record books as one of the worst defenses. I think Ben talked about it. I do think Ole Miss has the right leadership at the right positions to where I do think it'll matter. It's going to matter for JJ Pegues on Friday. Last game.
Agree with that.
Um, I think guys like Walter Nolan, Prince Umamion, like this is one of your last shots to do something for NFL scouts. Jackson Dart, I mean, just great game until the last 3 minutes, and then you shit your pants. He's going to be hungry to get back out there and prove that that's not him. I think that combined with just Mississippi State being so damn bad, I mean, they are in the bottom hundreds in the country in multiple defensive categories. I think Ole Miss will have some motivation because, look, it's still up in the air. It's not likely at all, but there's still a chance. So you got to win. And I think Kiffin's telling them, we got to beat their ass.
And to your point, I love that we're playing on Friday before any of the doors are closed.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You have to go out there and win the fucking game because maybe Alabama does lose. You know, maybe Notre Dame does lose. Maybe, you know, whatever.
It's not off the table that Auburn beats Alabama. That's not at all impossible.
I'll be locking them in
11-point spread. We saw what that was last week.
Yeah. Alabama, that's too many points.
I think
the other thing, Zach, State's got some guys, if the rumor mill can be believed. Well, here, State's got some guys that have an eye on the portal as well. Now,
yeah,
how many of your guys on their roster do other teams actually want? Not many, but the few that they've got, I think they're shopping around.
Some real solid Sun Belt players.
Yeah.
I mean, 3, 6, 8 guys are out for Mississippi State on Friday. Ole Miss, McIntyre, Watkins, Daquan, Princely, all probable. Logan Diggs, Trey Harris, questionable, and then the obvious outs.
Do we think McIntyre's playing? I mean, it says probable. Y'all think he's playing?
It says probable. If he's not, you need to play Bryson Sanders at center because Jerquan Scott ain't it.
Or Caleb Warren.
Or just, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to be funny.
But here's a crazy idea. Do what?
Go ahead. Finish that thought.
No. I'm just being a smartass. Like, maybe play the guy that started for us all fucking season last year at center.
What is Watkins' injury? Why is he probable? Does he have a hand injury? Because he can't catch anymore.
Well,
I'm afraid about Juice Wells' left arm, too. He couldn't use
it. He can't raise it. He's got frozen shoulder.
Other than that, we're solid.
I think you're asking about a breakout player, Ben. It's not a Heisman moment game, obviously. This might be a legacy game for Jackson Dart to just will this team.
Run the ball.
To beat the hell
150 yards on the ground. I mean,
we may have to.
If I'm Dart,
he's our only player, man, right now. It feels like 21 Corral at the end of the year where it was just like he was just like dragging us. He and Dontario Drummond.
Yeah.
So
that may be Lee and Dart on Friday.
Yeah, seriously.
And I don't, and like I haven't, we don't talk about them nearly enough. Guys like Pooh Paul, TJ Daugherty, Suntarian Perkins, like those dudes are, I know that, like, you know, they're all human. They know that the playoffs are probably not going to happen, but they're also competitors and they're going to want to go out and win.
I don't think we're not going to play hard. I feel like we'll come out and play hard. You only have one more opportunity to do this, and you work all year to play games.
Yeah.
Like, games are still fun.
The Flagship is brought to you each and every day by our good friends at LB's Meat Market. Located at 2008 University Avenue, Suite E in Oxford, Mississippi, they have the best meat in town. You need to grill out. You need to do something inside. You need to throw something in the oven. You need to put something in the crock pot. LB's Meat Market has got you covered. $10 lane train specials are still the thing every single day, and you get $2 off anything in the freezer. And now, for the first time, you can text LB's if you want to place an order for pickup. That's 662-259-2999. Give Greg and the folks a call if you have any questions, or shoot them a text if you want to go ahead and place that order for pickup. Football, baseball, basketball, LB's has got you covered. Look, we all know that Arby's, they say a lot of things, but deep down, we all know LB's has got the meats. What are the most frequently asked questions about real estate, and how do you sort it all out? Just like every other situation, you consult with a professional in the field. Stacy and Rick Berry with the Berry Home Team and Keller Williams Realty can help you make sense of it all, from interest rates, when to buy, Should you wait? What type of loan is best for you? What do all of these new real estate rules even mean, and how will it affect you? As top producers in the Memphis and metro area, Stacy and Rick will be by your side through the process, whether you are buying, selling, or investing. Give them a call today and ask all the questions. 901-481-6420. That's the Barry Home Team. Keller Williams Realty.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
And look, the Egg Bowl has typically been spunky and weird, but the teams that have done that in previous years were 14, 15 points better than this team.
Yeah.
Like, well, and,
the state teams. Yeah.
But I'll say this. I really don't think there's much chance to lose. Honestly, the Egg Bowl has been kind of straight laced in the last 8 or 10 years. Typically, the better team is started to win. That's why you see more road teams win, because the better team just happens to be the road team. But I do think that anything less than a 10, I mean, if it's like a ball game in the fourth quarter, and we get out of there and we win by 7, man, I think it's going to be a long offseason. I just think things are going south if we win by 7. I think it will feel like a loss. Now, obviously, winning is better than losing, but I don't know.
Let's not speak in referendums about this. I mean, that's a little heavy.
You don't think if we win by 3 points, it's going to be a drag on the fan base?
Oh my God.
After last week?
I mean, right. I just think you just got to win. I do too, man,
but like, they've played within 12 points in an SEC game all season long. If you come out in the fourth quarter, he takes a game-winning touchdown from Dart on a 12-yard run at the end of the game. Like,
what about this team says that we would win a game that close? I feel like
that's my point. Yeah,
that's true.
If it's 3 points, we're on the wrong side of that.
We're losing, bro.
Yeah. All right. That place will feel tight if it's a close game at any point.
As it should.
Yeah.
You know, we've not shown an ability to close out anybody.
And one more thought on that, and I know Zach wants to keep us moving because he's got to go, but these guys make money now, right? So I don't boo players, right? I don't. And I don't like it when fans boo our players. But it's a little bit less egregious now that you make money, right? I mean, it's just me being honest.
At this point, you need to be booing one person.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine. I can't imagine our fans booing guys unless, here's the caveat, they just quit on it. And if they quit on you, then you can quit on them. There's a two-way street there. I don't see them quitting. I don't think Jackson Dart would allow that, or Piggies would allow that, or Princely or Jared Ivy. No. You know, I don't think those guys would allow that. I'm just saying there is a scenario, 1%, where they look like they don't want to be there. And then, you know, I can see shit getting a little squirrely.
Let's just say you're a coach to say, look, let's go win. Auburn beats Alabama, or Tennessee loses to Vandy, or like there are a lot of ors. Not a lot of things have to happen in consequence. Like, it's just, we just need a couple of dominoes to fall. And it's like,
yeah, it's not, you're right. I mean, people are acting like it's like we need 15 things to go our way. That's not the case. Like, we need a couple of like tricky rivalries to go our way, and then maybe one really squirrely game, like a USC or like a, I guess Notre Dame's probably safely in now, no matter what. So,
but was it last year or 21 where we jumped somebody in that last week? Like, I think they do a full reevaluation after the conference
championship. That's what they say. They say like it's a full scrub. I think
we start back from scratch, and then it's like 9-3 Ole Miss against 9-3 South Carolina, for example, and they look at the head-to-head, and then they move on rather than hot late in the year. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know anything about it. But
you'd like South Carolina to win, but not look like great. You know, you don't want them coming out winning like 31-13.
Oh, we need 13-10.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, 17-15. Yeah.
Like, look, we need Clemson to miss a game-winning field goal. That's what we need. We need Clemson to miss. So it's like 21.
Like, kind of like a 33-yarder. You know what I mean? Like, they missed. They should have made that.
Everybody feels like shit afterward. Yeah.
All right. So let's go ahead and get into these locks here. I'm going to go ahead and jump on this one early. I'm going to grab Oregon State plus 19.5.
Coming out of the gate hot with Oregon State.
I only see 19 for the record because I want Oregon State as well.
19.5 is at BetMGM.
Okay.
Drunk.
I mean, Boise at this point is whatever, you know, and they haven't, you talk about not closing people out. I mean, they've gotten by the skin of their teeth last couple weeks, and I think Oregon State will be good enough to cover fucking 20 points. I think they might just shelve Ginty in the second half. Cause I don't think this matters really. Like, they don't really need the style points anymore. Give me the Beavers, plus 19.5.
They have 5 wins currently. Oregon State does, which is part of why I'm on them. They want to play for a bowl game, and it's a big line. So I don't like for them, they can shoot for this, you know, the moon and you know, miss small here by losing by 10 points, but they're going to be going hard trying to get the bowl. And also this game is, I think this is at 10 local time. This game's at noon Eastern, and Boise's in the mountain time zone. Is that right? So this game's at 10 local time. It's going to be a weird game, I think.
Yeah.
Shoot for the moon, and if you miss, you'll wind up in the Alamo Bowl.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Torpedo Ginty's Heisman chances.
I'll be quick. Georgia Tech plus 20.5. I think it's too many points against Georgia.
I'm right.
You guys looked at my numbers.
I'm right with you on that one.
It's I don't even know where they're playing, but Georgia, similar to what I just said in my little diatribe about Ole Miss, who is going to be the guy to step up? Who is the elite player to do it? Georgia does not have that at all. Like, they don't have a guy that can take over the game. And I think you need that in a rivalry game when you're favored by 3 touchdowns. So I'm going to take Georgia Tech.
It's 19.5 is all I've got, but road teams are 18-4 in the last 22 matchups in this one against the spread, not outright. Yeah.
Look, Brent Key is great as a dog too, man. He gets his team up for games where they're like double-digit
outright wins. Yeah, as a dog.
Yeah. I'm so
19.5 number. Man. Sorry.
Yeah, that's what I've got. All right, I'm going to keep it in the big numbers. Oh, wait, never mind. I've already done MSU. Go ahead. I've got 3 dogs by more than 3 touchdowns.
I got another one. Give me Texas State -1. At this point, it's just who do you think is going to win? They just extended G.J. Kinney, and I think they'll be fired up. I know South Alabama is pretty good, but
you can get them in a pick 'em.
Sure, let's do that. Yeah, I think he's got a solid thing going there. He's got the old JMU quarterback, the McLeod kid. Is that his name? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're fun. They throw the hell out of the ball. Give me the Bobcats.
Back to the ACC, and I didn't realize I lost a point here. I want to go Duke -4 at Wake Forest.
I'm tailing that. I'm tailing that in Georgia Tech, by the way. I don't know if that came across. Go ahead.
No analysis. We all saw Wake Forest. They suck. Duke's like 8-3, I think. And
quietest 8-3 in the country.
Yeah. And but they really don't have a blowout loss except for Miami.
No.
It tells me they're pretty good, right?
Their defense is good.
Yeah. And and really in that Miami game, they were winning late, weren't they? And Miami like exploded for 4 or 5 touchdowns in about 8 minutes.
Yeah, they were definitely winning in the third quarter because I don't remember what game I was at, but we were keeping up with it and we're like, okay. Next thing you know, Miami was up 2 touchdowns, but it was a close game for a good while. I mean,
Duke lost by 1 point to SMU, or SMU would not be in the playoff discussion. Yep. So I'm taking Duke -4.
All right, I'll go to the big one with a big number. Lay the 20.5 with the Buckeyes, or I see 20 now. 20 with the Buckeyes. That move concerns me a little bit against Michigan. Ryan Date, they're going to run it up. They're going to run it up. They've lost, what, 3 in a row to Michigan?
Yep.
Michigan off of a title, off of the Bryce Underwood coup, Michigan feeling good about their program. We saw what Ryan Day did last week against Indiana, weirdly running it up against Indiana late and, like, talking shit about Cignetti. They're feeling themselves right now. If they have the chance, they are going to pile it on Michigan. I think this is, like, 45-13.
And we know all too well about one of their running backs. I think is Quinchon the second teamer. He doesn't start, does he?
No.
That's a bad guy to have in there late if you're a defense because he will punish you in the late
game. So what do you think about the over? I'm thinking over 40. I've seen it at 43 in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, I think love that's an easy over.
Here's the thing. That game is a sneaky over game. People always associate it with like this Big Ten grinded out style. But I think for the last, 5 years, it's gone over for the last 5 years. Like
it's like 8 of the last 9 as well. It's over 43.
Really all you need is about a touchdown from Michigan because you've got to think Ohio State's going to score 38.
I think that's exactly right. I think you just need Michigan to get you maybe 7 or 10. And then I think Ohio State does the rest. I think they beat Michigan's ass.
I think Michigan's offense has gotten better. I don't think that they're going to like challenge Ohio State, but they're playing a little bit better. I mean, they had 400 yards last week. I get it was Northwestern, obviously, but they still,
they're going to get tagged.
Yeah. Speaking of Northwestern, by the way, I'm going Illinois -7.5 at Northwestern. Is this at Wrigley Field? I would assume it's at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't think it much matters. I do know that kept Illinois out of the bowl game last year when Northwestern beat them at Illinois. Northwestern's pretty bad. They're 4-7. They're done for a bowl game. This could be make Illinois go 9-3. They're picked, towards the bottom of the Big Ten. So I think they're going to want to put it on Illinois, Northwestern, kind of like show out. It's just a touchdown. Who is Northwestern to only be given a touchdown pretty much to anybody not named Purdue? So.
I like that pick. All right, let's go ahead and let's keep this thing rolling. Kansas -1.5 at Baylor. I know Baylor's been playing well. Sawyer Robinson, former Mississippi State guy at quarterback for Baylor, has kind of saved Dave Aranda. But again, I'm going to go with the coaching matchup here. I think that the Jayhawks will be ready. And look, they're fired up now. I mean, that's 2 big ones in a row. And Jalen Daniels is playing really well. The running back, it's not – is it Devin Neal? What's his name? I can never think of his damn name. Kid's a hawk.
Yeah, it's Neal. It's something Neal, yeah.
He ran all over Colorado. I think that they'll be physical, and the Daniels at quarterback, he gives you a lot of opportunities to make plays because he can move around and extend with his feet. So I like Kansas to spoil it in Waco for Dave and the Magnolia people.
All right. I got one. Let's go to Troy, Alabama. And we are going to lay 17 points with the Troy Trojans against the University of Southern Mississippi Golden Eagles. Southern Miss is the worst team in football. They're not the worst team in the South or in the North. They are the worst team. I don't think.
You think they're worse than Temple?
Ooh. They should play that bowl game. We should have a bowl game every year where it's the two just shittiest teams in the country.
The two worst teams.
Yeah. Southern is 1-10. Their one win was against Southeast Louisiana.
Yeah. How close was that game?
35-10, actually. Here are their losses. 31-0 in Kentucky, 49-24 South Florida, 44-7 Jacksonville State, 23-13 Louisiana, 38-21 Monroe, 44-28 Arkansas State, 32-15 JMU, 37-3 Marshall, 58-3 Texas State. They're getting worse. 35-14 South Alabama. They're playing at Troy, one win. I mean, this is a – how do you even have the motivation to go out there and play? This has nothing to do – Troy may suck. I don't know. But, like, when you're 1-10, man, it's – you're – half the team's not even going, right? You're figuring out a way to have a tweaked hamstring just so you don't have to get on the field.
17 is a decent number, but this might be like a Brinks truck game.
Yeah.
Like Troy is 3-8.
That's what I was going to say. That's the only reason. Like, I couldn't do a Brinks truck play. Like, you're trusting a really bad team to put up a number. Like, they're going to cover probably, but like,
I mean,
could win by like 13.
I mean, it Brinks truck in like for me would be like $100. I'm not a big gambler. I'm not throwing a big number out there. I don't see how Southern keeps it close.
No.
The last four games for Troy, by the way, 31 in a loss, 38 in a win, 28 in a win, 30 in a loss. Like, they're going to score points. Is Southern going to score points? No, they're not going to score points.
I mean, what a time. Like, Larry Fedora is just a distant memory. Jeff Bauer even farther.
Jeff Bauer wasn't good enough for him, right? They moved on from
the Big Three, man. They were the best team in the state.
Yeah,
best program. They used to beat Ole Miss all the time.
God,
what they say. If you look at Wikipedia, it's like
Rick Cleveland byline.
They went like 5-20 against Ole Miss all the time, or something. Yet they claim to have beat us all the time.
Rick Cleveland.
I guess we beat Alabama all the time too.
Rick Cleveland's got all five of those wins in the paper. He's got them framed in his house. He fucking went to the library, dug through the archives, and got a fucking fax machine or screen printer.
Okay, so it's not quite as bad. It's 18-6.
Yes, 85% of the time.
I'm going to go ahead and throw this one out there too, and I figure somebody's either got it on their board or will just say, hey, I'm tailing you. Give me Syracuse plus 11.
I want to believe.
Godspeed, yeah. They just can't stop anybody, man.
Who is this?
Syracuse is hosting Miami.
In Syracuse. Yeah. That's a team you don't want to be facing if you can't stop somebody, because Miami will not stop. Like, their offense is good and their defense is bad.
Hey, McCord.
Yeah.
He's putting up numbers.
And look,
if Syracuse swacks them, is Miami out of it?
Well, they still get
short. They get the ACC championship, don't they?
Yeah, they're still going to win the championship probably.
Yeah. But I mean, the game comes down to Cal's got to be SMU somehow. If Cal beats SMU, cuz that would be a big one.
I believe in Fran. He was really good. He was a really good coordinator, or not coordinator, really good assistant at Georgia. He's a great recruiter. He's got some belief up there, and McCord's gonna he'll go blow for blow with Cam Ward.
Crazy travel here too. I mean, that's a haul, man.
Syracuse is. Have y'all ever been to Syracuse?
Yeah,
it's way the fuck up there.
Mm-hmm. Last week of the season, you're going from sunny Miami to Syracuse to play in front of like 15,000 people or whatever. Like,
in the Carrier Dome, is that where they live?
Yeah, they renamed it. It's something I can't remember what it is now. Nick probably knows. Syracuse, underrated airport. Nice airport.
The JMA Wireless Dome.
That's it. Yeah.
That's what I was gonna say.
I don't have any more picks.
All right, I got one going tomorrow night. So if you're listening to this on Thursday, this game is Thursday night. Give me over Memphis Tulane over 55.
Yeah.
I don't understand that number. Look, Tulane probably gets into the 40s here. And I think Memphis's offense is fine. Like, they probably get into the 30s. I think this is like way over 55.
Yeah.
All right, I've got one last one, and this is Texas A&M. I'm going to make sure I have the right number. At 5.5, started out at 6. It would be really cool to get that 6 point in there, but I kind of think Texas A&M is going to win. I've just read some stuff talking about A&M's home field advantage is north of 4 points per Vegas lines. It's going to be more than that this time. It is going to be as vitriolic as you can possibly imagine, like a game. I mean, it's going to be Egg Bowl in 2014 type stuff. It's going to be crazy. I don't think Texas is like great. Imagine, I don't think A&M's great.
Imagine if they realigned and had a super conference of 40 teams and Ole Miss went and State was left out. And then 10 years later, State got to come in.
Yeah.
And then we played in Starkville. Can you imagine what they would be like? Literally, people would die from
I was gonna say, this is gonna feel
with cowbells.
It's gonna feel like the Battle of the Bulge in that motherfucker on Saturday. Yeah. Like it's gonna be like it may be the first time that any of those Texas A&M dudes wearing like fatigues actually see battle. Like first and only time.
Yeah, it will be their only time.
Fake ass military.
And imagine like we also control the whole entire state. And if you I think Texas A&M's little brother complex is somehow even worse than MSU. Like I think for MSU sure. wants to drag us both down to the bottom. I think A&M, like they both want to be at the top. Like that's what A&M would prefer. It's just them both being good. But Texas A&M is a little brother to the next level. I mean, it's something else. I think it's going to be crazy. They got the 6:30 kick down there. And I mean, you know, I already don't think Texas is all that great. So almost a touchdown. It'd be cool if it went back up to 6 before it started, but I think this one's going to be tight. And I kind of think A&M's going to win. Or 2 or 3 points loss.
I love that one. I won't Roger Jock. But yeah, I think that I agree with everything. Cosign that whatever your home field number is that you assign for home field advantage, you've got to ratchet it up by like 2.5 points for A&M for this one. It's gonna be insane.
I mean, get in price is like $600, isn't it?
I just don't I don't like their offense at all.
Well, plus Quinn Ewers is hurt. He's banged up. Yeah. He's got an ankle, right?
The rumor is he might be coming back.
That'd probably be news to a certain
Ole Miss legacy. It'd be so funny if he did.
I heard that from boots on the ground in Austin that's
Arch Manning rumor. Would be playing football for LSU.
Like SLU, Southeastern Louisiana. That's all in tape he's got.
Yeah, if Arch Manning transferred to LSU. Dude, they might rip the Manning name off the.
We should.
By they, you mean me. Might rip the name off the. Dude, what if Quinn Ewers goes to LSU?
That would be bad. Oh, I wouldn't like that.
I've got a money line before we shut it down.
Oh, I forgot about money lines.
Vanderbilt.
I got a good one. Fuck yeah. There we go.
Vanderbilt over Tennessee. Vandy is a dragon slayer. They took down Alabama. They took Texas to the wire. I don't think that they gave their best effort last week, but they beat Auburn on the road. I don't think they gave their best effort last week because this week is what they've been preparing for 2 weeks, right?
This is it.
This is it. Tennessee has a rookie quarterback. He is not – I mean – Vandy's not coming into like, you know, it'll be mostly Tennessee fans there. When I say mostly, I bet it's 90% Tennessee fans in the stadium.
But it was 90% Bama fans when Vandy beat Bama.
And Texas fans, yeah.
It was. So,
dude,
I am not – I'm not big on Tennessee. Vanderbilt runs the right stuff that this game is going to be close late. Because
they're service academy.
Oh yeah.
Oh, they're running the option just out of the shotgun.
Yeah. Tennessee's not very explosive. So give me Vandy. I would rather take them as Auburn right now. And I think Auburn can play Alabama close.
All right. I've got several picks. So Zach, you want me to unload or you got one?
I added two and then my money line, then you can knock it out. So I got Colorado State minus six over a bad Utah State team. Colorado State's been quietly pretty solid this year. And then Maryland plus 25 against Penn State. Penn State sucks. They got lucky as hell last week against Minnesota. And then my money line pick, fight on, baby. SC. I think Lincoln Riley's going to have them ready to roll. It's in the Coliseum. The season hasn't been what SC has wanted. I think they're going to give Notre Dame every damn thing they got in the chamber. And look, I told Nick before we started, I wish casted a little bit with Kansas last week. Deep down, I thought Colorado would win. Let's see if we can do it again 2 weeks in a row. So I don't think it would be that crazy. SC's got dudes. They got athletes. The defensive coordinator name is escaping me. He's done a pretty good job. I mean, they've been up and down defensively, but I think they'll be ready. And Notre Dame, is again, lost to fucking Northern Illinois. So let's not act like Notre Dame is just this juggernaut all of a sudden. So, yeah, I like SC money line. Oh, and then I did add Vandy plus 11.5. All right, Austin, fire away.
All right, I'm going to disrespect the troops. Interesting stat. I think I got this from Brad Powers maybe on Twitter. Do you know that no team has covered the week after they've played Notre Dame this year? So little body blow theory in effect. Give me UTSA plus 7 against Army. UTSA seems to be catching fire at the right time of year. They're peaking. They could pile up points. I don't think Army can stop them. They got really banged up against Notre Dame. And Army's got a look ahead with their championship game next and then Navy after that. Army plays they got a funky schedule, right? In the championship before the Army-Navy game? I think that's right. So weird scheduling quirk there. Give me the Roadrunners plus 7. Give me scrolling. I love the Vandy money line pick. I'm gonna be safe though and take the 10.5 with Diego Pavia. He's gonna be on like horse tranquilizers, whatever it takes to play that game. I know he's banged up.
I got you 11.5.
Yeah, absolutely take that.
Dude, he's gonna be huffing ivermectin.
Yeah, dude. He's gonna be on like ketamine and shit. So give me this is
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Nobody's going to like this one, but hold your nose. Arizona catching 9 at home to Arizona State. This is a buy high, sell low sort of point. Like Arizona State just a couple of weeks ago would have never been 9 at Arizona in a rivalry game. Mm-hmm. I just think this is the high water mark for Arizona State. They are okay. They're fine. They can't lay 9 on the road against a rival that can score. They just can't. So give me Arizona plus 9. Couple more. Thought about taking LSU against Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma shot their wide, but I don't really want to get involved there. Auburn plus 11.5. This is I do not understand this number. Auburn all year has been competent offensively. They just turned the ball over too much. Last week they finally didn't turn the ball over. They race out to 21-0. A&M storms back. I know it was a big win for Freeze. I know they probably don't have a ton left in the tank after that. But did we see what Alabama did last week too? We think Alabama's just going to completely bounce back and everything's fine. We said last week going into the Oklahoma game, we said this, if you can bottle up Milroe, that's easier said than done. But if you can bottle up Milroe, they are very pedestrian offensively. I think Auburn can contain him a little bit. I don't know that they shut him down, but 11.5 points is a lot. I think Hugh Freeze works some magic here. I think Auburn hangs around.
I don't think they're that much different from Oklahoma, except they don't have Jackson Arnold. But otherwise, like, there's nothing that would suggest that Oklahoma could have 3, you know, actually, what is that, 32 points more success against Alabama than Auburn?
All right, another hold your noser. This is principle. Indiana is going to absolutely smash Purdue. I know it's 29 points. That's a lot of points to swallow. I just think Cignetti, after last week, they're going to prove a point here. They're just barely hanging on by a thread now, right, in the rankings. They're, what, 10? Is that right? They're going to prove a point. This is like 55-3 or something crazy. Like, this is – I think they're going to go in on Purdue. Last two, USC plus 7.5 at home against Notre Dame. Penn State laid 3.5 like, what, a month ago in Los Angeles. Now Notre Dame's laying 7.5. Is Notre Dame that much better than Penn State? I don't think so. Yeah,
right. No, they're not 4 points better on a neutral.
No. So give me the Trojans plus 7.5. Last one, another hold your noser. Chase the money when you're down. You need one to come through late night. We have Hawaii game. New Mexico has 5 wins. Bronco Mendenhall's first year at New Mexico, 5 wins, which is incredible. He should be the coach of the year. They're playing for bowl eligibility against Hawaii. They're only laying 3. Lay the 3. They're going to beat the shit out of Hawaii.
What? All right. What? Before I take Hawaii plus 136, first of all, that Bronco Mendenhall was coaching at University of New Mexico was news to me as of about 7 minutes ago. I knew he like stepped down from Virginia.
Yeah.
It just seems an odd way to step down in Charlottesville and move to Albuquerque. But
first year, is his first year.
Yeah, no, it's first year. He took a 3-year break. That's an interesting career choice.
A lot of people say if you need to get back to homeostasis, you go to ABQ.
ABQ, especially for Charlottesville. I guess the riots were too much to be in Charlottesville, at that time. But I don't. What is New Mexico? Are they actually going to whip them? Because I was thinking about taking Hawaii plus 136. Hawaii's been pretty decent at home, and they're underdogs. That was going to be my money line pick. Is New Mexico actually good?
New Mexico's quarterback will be the best player in the game. And by the way, when he hits the portal, he's going to land somewhere in the P4.
New Mexico to Vanderbilt pipeline, pretty strong.
Could be. Just
the whole state in general.
Look, it wouldn't shock me at all. I'm not even kidding about this. It would not shock me at all if Hugh Freeze got involved with him because he's a dual threat guy, like very mobile.
I don't care if he sucks. Hugh Freeze should get involved with them. If they want to be good, they need quarterbacks. Like, go get you a quarterback. Whoever you have now is not the guy.
It
just gets worse. Every time we name a team, it just gets worse.
Devin Dampier would also fit Hugh Freeze because he has 12 interceptions in the year.
Exactly. Perfect.
But, great athlete, fun to watch. That's a good pick. I like it.
All right, I got 2 money lines. I just get those out of the way. UL Monroe at home and like the whatever rivalry bowl. What was this, like the boot bowl or something? What do they call it?
It's the UL bowl.
Yeah. Give me Monroe outright and give me UVA outright on the road at Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is cheeks. I don't know. How are they laying 7.5? They're not
Virginia
good.
Tech's lost a lot of close games. A lot of
is
close
it games. Lane, is it that Lane Stadium?
Their what-if thing is second in the country behind us.
Yeah. Our what-if, we'd be 27-0 if we flipped every game that we lost behind. That's how good we'd be. What are those numbers? Do you have them, Austin, at the ready?
Yeah, Virginia's plus 230 and Monroe.
That's a big number. I'm with you there.
Yeah, like that's crazy value. In a rivalry game,
130, I'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me find Monroe. I lost it. Monroe is plus 276.
What's Monroe's record? I know they started with the big win over Jackson State to open the season. I haven't kept up a ton since then.
I think they're playing for bowl eligibility.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
And it's at home, and Lafayette's quarterback is banged up. And by the way, I think Lafayette has already clinched a spot in the championship game. So they really don't have anything to play for Saturday, like nothing. The other thing, I'm not betting this, but keep this on your radar. There's some funky tiebreak scenario where if – y'all may know this. If Iowa State loses, you need to bet BYU against Houston because BYU can get into the Big 12 championship game. And they're only laying 13. But it's contingent on teams in front of them losing.
Mm-hmm.
So they play figure out whatever the tiebreaker is. Yeah.
Yeah. But by the way, Louisiana has already clinched, and ULM has lost their last 5 games. But so – I mean, one of those was Auburn, so in fairness to them. But yes, Louisiana has already clinched, just to answer that. The last win was against Southern Miss to wrap it all, to tie it all back up.
Put a nice bow on it.
Look, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to run through all of our picks. Look, I'm sorry. Just rewind. I got to be a psycho and go to Kroger at 10:30 before Thanksgiving.
Disclosure, it's 4 a.m.
Couple things. Again, promo code for roback.com juice. You get 20% off Roback. Great stuff. They're going to have Ole Miss They're going to have an Ole Miss line next football season. So I know that's been a big sticking point for people. They will have it next year. And then Homefield Apparel, homefieldapparel.com, promo code. You can go there right now, and they've got everything 30% off for Black Friday. If you use that promo code and you want to go back and get some stuff for Christmas, Last Dance 24 will get you 15% off. Appreciate the fellas coming in. Thanksgiving Eve, again, company party in the Grove. We'll all gather at Nick's tent and, exchange gifts, all of that. But we appreciate everybody tuning in, whether you're on YouTube or Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever. Shout out College Corner. Shout out Drew Moak and USA Benefits Group and the rest of the sponsors. Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. Be safe traveling. And if you're going to the game, have a good time. Ole Miss is going to win. Be 9-3. It's the third winningest program in the SEC in the last 4 years. So, look, I know everything sucks this year and everybody's mad, but it could be much worse. You could be Mississippi State and you could just be like trying to get in people's mentions that talk shit about Ole Miss on Twitter. So
should have lost to Kentucky.
I saw somebody on Twitter. Well, I have to say this before we get off, and nobody's probably listening more, but they're doing this new thing now where it's like, oh, well, neither one of us lived up to our expectations. Like,
we're just the same.
What were your expectations?
It's same like, team. It's like a guy who loses the race to be the mayor of his 5,000 person village telling Kamala Harris, like, oh, well, neither one of us won our race.
We're just the same. We're the same person.
It's like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus. All right. That's going to do it. Like again, appreciate all the support this year. Appreciate everybody tuning in. I know a lot of people have been telling us on the board and Twitter that everybody likes the show. We love doing the show every week. It's fun. And it's even more fun when you're winning a lot and we're having a good year. So hopefully week 14 is kind to the fellas and we win y'all some more money. We'll have more content on the site leading up to the Egg Bowl, big recruiting weekend as well for Lane Kiffin and the staff. So again, happy holidays, everybody. Be safe with your travels, and we will talk to y'all next week. We out of here.